So as I contemplated this morning, and certainly in the last week or so, I thought a little bit about our traditions. As Baptists, certainly you perhaps have a different tradition as well too, and we come to this place, and this place is a place that has a rich tradition in contributive democracy led by God. What does that mean? It means that we contribute together because the Spirit of God is in each one of us to determine how we're going to do church together. So I wanted to this morning look at our ground rules for 2016 and how we do church. How are we going to do this thing we call church? It's an exciting question. But we want to lay down some ground rules about what we're wanting to do. Because if you think about out in our culture, friends that you know, family members that attend church, or that even are spiritual people or religious people, we all have a different understanding of how we do this thing called our spirituality. And some churches are offside. And I don't want us to be that. So as I thought about this, how are we going to do ground rules? How are we going to decide? And certainly I defer to and request and need, I yearn for the support of the leaders of this church to help me understand how we do church together. But I thought about this as ground rules for 2016, our agreement, our covenant. Baptist churches have long been covenantal churches. That means agreement amongst all of us of what we're going to do together. And it also means that if you covenant with us, being a member of our church, it means that we're going to hold you to be part of what we decide and do together. So it's both a great opportunity and a serious one. Well, let's talk about ground rules. When I first looked at this, I kind of thought, okay, well, the internet's got to provide me with some wisdom on how you do ground rules in a church. So I found an article called The 10 Rules of Thumb for Healthy Churches. This is an American article. And I looked at what the 10 rules would be, and I'll just look at 8 because we're going to look at 8 ground rules for ourselves. So let me just share 8 with you. This is what they said. There needs to be 1 acre for every 125 in attendance. There needs to be one parking space for every 2 attending. 27 inches of seating. I don't know whether you're going to measure this morning, but you, according to this article, deserve to have 27 inches per person per seating. That's actually up from 20. I don't know what that says about us, but 27 inches is what is a good ground rule. 80% maximum capacity, which we've offended this morning. But please don't leave. 80% capacity is a kind of rule of thumb. We need 12 conversions or baptisms or professions of faith every year for every 100 in attendance, according to these ground rules. And 10 new members, I like this one, 10 new members will increase average worship attendance by 7. What happened to the other 3? They become new members and then say, well, I'm out. Interesting statistic. $26 is required for a healthy church per attendee per week. Guess what yours is? 42. I don't know what that says about our givings or our attendance. Could be taken both ways. 30 to 40% of our weekly income can be put into maximum debt payment. That means, good news, we can spend $825,000 this year on something, because that would be the equivalent of our debt payment. You know what I think about these ground rules? They're trash. They're garbage. I'm shocked. I'm overwhelmed. And I don't even want to tell you the website because it's embarrassing that these would be the top 8 rules for a healthy church. 27 inches of butt space? This is ridiculous. Embarrassing. I would like to ask you what your 10 rules are, but that would be putting you on the spot, so I don't want to do that. This is trash. It's out. We're not going to use those as our basis for the ground rules by which we treat each other and care for each other in this community. I won't let it. I won't allow it. and I hope you won't either. You want bigger chairs? Then we can talk about that. But let's find some real ground rules for how we get along in community together. And I thought we'd go to two, unfortunately, but two men. I'd love to hear from two women in the Bible. We're going to look at two men in the Bible who share some ground rules. Four from each. First person who's going to give us some ground rules is Moses. The second person who's going to give us some ground rules is Paul. So I'd like you, if you have your Bibles with you, to first tune to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, this is a classic text, a pretty intense text. Turn to Deuteronomy, because we're going to learn something from a famous and overwhelming, a memorized text that applies to us today. And I'll share with you a little bit of my reflections as we go through this. Let me start by saying the first passage. Read along with me if you'd like. These are the commands, the decrees, the laws the Lord your God directed me, Moses is speaking here, to teach you to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hold on. Stay there for a minute. What is Moses saying from God that he wants us to do? What is our first ground rule? Well, he first says, interestingly enough, we are going to fear God. We are going to listen, and we are going to learn from him. And the result of all that will actually mean that we'll enjoy life together. Let me spell that a little bit for you. What's he saying? He's saying that by following this, by listening to this, not me, not one of our leaders, but this, you will learn something. And by learning something, your life will be enriched and blessed, and we will actually enjoy the life God has given to us because we follow this. Quick question, bit of a rhetorical question. Any of you that have experienced any kind of divergence in life, when you've disobeyed this, has life been better or worse long term? Worse, I would say. Test I would give to you. Follow this long term, and the promise is we will enjoy life together. Now, what does this mean for us? Well, it certainly means for us that we will grow and we will enjoy being together. For example, at the Fraser Lowry Bible Study, we feed on the Word and enjoy it. At least when I've been there, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And Karen and Gail and Scott and Craig have some awesome snacks afterwards too. We have snack after our church that we enjoy. I hope that you enjoy being with each other together. That when you're in No Frills or Metro or somewhere else shopping and you see each other, a smile comes on your face. Because you actually enjoy life together. That's what this says. If we fear God, for those of you that think we should be scared of God, no, it's respect God with a divine fear that says, I'll do what he asks. Fear God so much so that you'll learn from this, listen to this, and the result will be, emphatically, you'll enjoy life. First ground rule is we're going to fear God and listen and learn. We're going to enjoy life together. Let's go on. Moses says, hear Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you, that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Our second ground rule, as we think about it, is that we won't just listen to this, learn from this, that we'll actually do it, as James says. You see, there is a division between our brain and our body and our emotions and our social life in which what we know is right to do just doesn't happen. We need to cross the line to have what we learn and what we listen to actually be done. We are going to obey, we're going to share with each other the truth, and we're going to increase. You see the blessing there? Increase, enjoy life, and we're going to thank God for that increase. So here's one of our tests in 2016. in different ways. I'll remind you about the survey. In different ways, I believe we will increase in 2016. From a pastoral standpoint, you may think that's attendance. Not really. We're going to increase in 2016. You may think from a treasurer's point of view that that's our funds. No, not really. We're going to increase in the way that Moses was speaking about it. It was increasing in influence, in shalom peace, which meant the rich bounty of the land flowing with milk and honey, and so that this life that we enjoy in Canada, we'll thank God for, because we know He has given it to us for the goodness of life, to enjoy in freedom and share with each other. We're going to obey. We're going to share with each other. As you know how to do, we're going to increase. When that happens, we're going to thank God. Just wait till our annual report and our annual meeting. Third, let me go back here. Moses says to Israel, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." The third guideline, the third ground rule is we are going to love, worship God with all we've got. This is a big challenge, a big test for me, because I always wonder, God, am I giving you everything? I learned a number of years ago that I thought it was, in the tradition that I was raised in, that I was supposed to bring my best to God. And then I learned through a series of events, I don't owe God my best. I owe Him it all. And that's what He wants from me, is my all, even my messes. He wants me to give Him back the life that He's given to me, and for me to live it out for Him, every part of it. So we're going to love God, worship God, and love God alone with all we have. What does this mean for us practically? Well, over here, on the right side, my right, your left, where our musicians gather, you have the right in this church. I'm giving you the right to suggest music that we sing. I'm giving you the right to come and say, hey, that song that we sang, it's not really biblical. Or that song we sang has so much of the Spirit in it that I want us to sing it more often. I want you to come to me or come to Scott or David or one of the musicians and say, hey, what's on my heart is that we sing this song. You have the right to do that. You're in a Baptist church. We work out every week the songs that we'll sing in a bit of a democratic fashion, I would say. Right, Scott? We work it out every once in a while, and I love it when this happens. Every once in a while, one of our musicians or one of the other people that help us set up and our leaders say, hey, I'd like to do this song. Awesome. How we want to worship and love God with all we have is by contributing what we have. And Moses continues and says, these commands I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down, and when you get up. What's he saying? All the time. Live your faith out all the time. Share with your children. We talked about this last May. Share it with your children, your testimony. I'm convicted now that I want my children, and ultimately my grandchildren if I have them, to know my story, my testimony. I miss that I didn't hear my grandfather's testimony from his own lips. We're going to share it with our children. So this is really exciting this year because Evan has come to join us. We've hired Evan to do this job of helping us to share the truths with our children. But don't think that Evan's going to share all the good truths with your children. He's helping you out, parents. He's coming alongside of your own personal devotions at home. He's seeking to align what he's teaching with what you want to teach your children. From the youngest to the oldest. We're going to impress them upon our children. But not just our children. Out in our society, people that we work with and people that we are neighbors to or people that are all around us, we're going to impress our lives, our Christ-led lives, to them. We're going to teach our children in our community, our family, our friends, and our neighborhoods. Pat Yule is helping us with this in terms of understanding mission. How we do this. So you have the right to say, I've always struggled with sharing this. And let's talk about it as you're comfortable. If you say, I don't know about my workplace, how do I work with integrity? Do what I'm supposed to do there. How do I, and as I look at you, I think of a number of examples of you living out your faith at work. And it's so great to see because it's fulfilling to you. It's the Word living itself out in your life. Fear God. Listen and learn and enjoy life together. Sometimes we think that this church thing that we're supposed to do, you should come in with a frown and go out with a frown. That's not what this says. It says enjoy life together. Why you have a snack, birthday cake, why we have events together, and why it's sometimes hard for Bruce to start and for us to wind up at the end. Because I think you enjoy being together. That's a really good indicator. We're going to obey what God has to say. We're going to share. We're going to increase God. And we're going to thank Him for what He gives to us. We're going to worship and love God alone with all we have. Not other little gods in our world that we think can satisfy when they can't. We're going to teach our children and our community, our friends and our family and our neighbors this faith. I'm going to let you share just at the end if there's things that come up. But let's go on. Let's go on and take a look at two things that Paul says to us. Paul says, firstly, in Ephesians 4 and then in Romans 13. In Ephesians 4, Paul writes to these believers. And he says, as a prisoner for the Lord, Paul, urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. One of the ground rules that we did this year, that we're going to do this year, number five, is we're going to live out our faith. We're going to live out our faith because God has already called you into it. He knows you have the capacity to do it. He's placed in you the Spirit to guide you into what He wants you to do. Please don't find this a kind of a negative appraisal or guilt to say, I'm never doing everything God wants me to do. That's not the way God wants His Spirit to work within you. It's not a sense of you've disappointed me. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's some other spirit talking to you. But the calling He's given within us, He's called us to live together. And look what He actually says for us to do. Live out our calling humbly, gently, patient, and strong. All of you have the calling and the capacity first to be humble. What's that? To say, I can't do it alone, God. I cannot do this life that You've called me to live. I mess up. I make mistakes. Before You, I lay down my life so that You'll show me how to live. That's humility. We're going to be gentle with each other, not judging each other harshly, but gently guiding each other, and we're going to be patient with each other and strong. As we live out our calling in all the different diverse ways, we're going to talk once again this year about ages and stages, what age and stage you're at, and the opportunities you have within that age and stage, to be content within that age and stage, and to do what God's called you to do, and encourage those around you who are going through very similar things. We're going to humbly do that. He continues and he says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. If you have any questions about your own performance, how you do this for God, well, that's kind of missing the point, because our true identity is found in being in the Spirit that unites us together, bonded in Him who does the work within us and gives glory to God. So our calling, our sixth calling, if you will, or our sixth ground rule, is that we are going to stay bonded in the Spirit. We're going to pursue peace and hope together. That's what God extends to us. Peace and hope through the Spirit. Mystical in some ways how God does this in our lives, but I think we've all felt it. The Holy Spirit moving within us to give us peace and hope. If you'll Go a little bit earlier in your Bibles to Romans 13. Romans 13, Paul also addresses the Roman Christians. And he says this, give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe them taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. This is beautiful. You see, we do have a law. We do have a law, the Word of God, which directs us to give what has been given to us and share it with others. That's the call to Abraham. And we are called to give, discharging our duties, what we have. And you see that around us in terms of what we do, the discharge of people's duties as our leaders do what they do. But every single person here has something to give someone else. Maybe it's prayers. Maybe it's encouragement. Maybe it's a smile. Maybe it's bringing snack. Maybe it's volunteering in some other way, but you all have something to give. And as we live 2016, we are going to be in situations where you are going to be called to give because some people are there needing to receive. I can't give to others what God wants you to give them. That's unique to you. We need you to give what you have. And when you give it, there's a feeling of fulfillment because God's given it to you, you can extend it. Yes, sometimes you feel tired. Matthew and I have to use sometimes. But is it fulfilling? Absolutely. It's giving of yourself. And each one of you is made uniquely in the image of God, the Bible says. So you all have something to give, regardless of where you are in life. The question is, will you give it? Paul says, give it. There's only one debt we should remain outstanding, and that's the debt to love one another. We are going to be faithful this year to give, to love one another. None of us should be exhausted, overwhelmed, burned out by the work of this church. We have enough here to do what God calls us to do. And if we have someone who's burning out, exhausted, overwhelmed, someone else isn't giving. It's the truth. Some of you may be giving more than you need to give. Some of you may not be giving enough. That's a great thing to praise with your deacon, with a trusted friend. I'm happy to meet with you about that. Don't let Lucifer get in there and guilt you to say you're not doing enough for God. God just asks you to give. And what you haven't given in the past, it's gone. Forget it. Not important to God anymore. It's the future of what He calls you to give. And then Paul completes the passage this way. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And whatever command there may be are summed up in one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. I hope that we can. I hope these ground rules for us is to fulfill God's love, loving family and friends and neighbors and each other, doing what God's called us to do. Let me just summarize. 2016 Fallingbrook Heights Baptist Church at the Center ground rules. We're going to fear God and listen to Him. We're going to learn from Him and we're going to enjoy it. I hope you'll participate in that. You can enjoy it together. We're going to obey God. We're going to share with each other and increase in the way God wants us to grow. And we're going to thank God when we see that increase. Growing healthy in Him. We're going to worship and love God alone with all we have. The way we gather on Sundays and other times as well. Teach our children and our community, our friends, our family, our neighbors what God has for them. We're going to live out our calling individually and corporately. Humbly, gently, patiently, strong. To stay bonded in the Spirit, letting the Spirit guide us into what He has for us this year that's unique, that's beautiful, that's new, that He has for us. Be faithful, giving, and loving one another. and fulfilling the law of God, loving family and friends and neighbors. These are the ground rules that I wanted to share with you in 2016. Truth is, God lays down the ground rules in our lives. He is going to direct us in the path that He has for us. We're human beings, so I think we need some kind of ground rules in terms of understanding each other. I wanted to open up this topic because as our leaders think about it, and as we think about it as a community, there's some practical things that you may say, you know, one of the ground rules is that maybe we should be facing north as we worship. Okay, well then let's talk about that. We should increase our seat sizes to 27 inches. Okay, let's talk about that. There's lots of things that we can talk about in a community, but we are free. We're unhinged from a building. We don't have a lot of the extras that other churches have upon us. We can do some wonderful things together. We just have to decide what we're going to do, and I'll agree to do it. We have already done some wonderful things together. What does God have for us this year? Let's do it together, and let's love each other's truth, our community.